Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our December 12th regular Othello City Council meeting. Would you all please rise? And for our invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and upon this council and our decisions we make tonight. Now, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Moving to item 1.4 on our roll is our roll call. All council members are present except for Angel Garza, who is on a family vacation. So I would like to entertain a motion that would excuse Angel from tonight's meeting.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving to item 1.5 is our citizen input. This is a segment of our council meeting where any citizen of Othello has an opportunity to address the city council. Is there anyone here who would like to address the city council? Please raise your hand. I'll recognize you, and you can come to the microphone and have up to 5 minutes. Is there anyone here? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move to item 2, the approval of our agenda tonight. I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda.
Make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 3, consent agenda. Entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we're going to move to our current business. Item 4.1 is the Mid-Columbia Library Report, and we have the pleasure of having Corinne Field is here with us tonight, and she has a presentation for the city council about the Mid-Columbia Library's Othello branch activities. Go ahead, Corinne.
Basically, I have the best job in the world. Working with 4 other people at the Othello branch of the Mid-Columbia Libraries, and our job is to help people, basically. And out of the 5 employees, 3 of us are bilingual, myself included. So we have a lot of people who speak Spanish and can help folks who come in. We have, of course, a very diverse population here in Othello. The others do more work with actual books and DVDs and the stuff of the library. I tend to do more work with teachers, preschool teachers and school regular school teachers and children and their parents. It's as though the most important job in the entire country is to be raising small children. So parents have the most important job. And then teachers have the second most important job, which is to educate them. And my job is to assist them and to help them. So it's a wonderful place to be, and thank you very much for having me here. So there we are on the corner across from the Waterfall Clinic. So we have 14 public computers, which are used just about every day. If you go in at 1 o'clock, they're not totally busy, but 3 o'clock on till we close at 7, they're busy. There are a lot of people make use of those computers. We also have free Wi-Fi. It goes off at 10 till closing, but then it's back on, so a lot of people will sit around the branch when we're closed to use their Wi-Fi and have chicken bones out the window. We have a very large ebook and audiobook collection, which can be downloaded if you have a library card. And you can get e-magazines from Zinio. If you get a library card and get the application, then you can download those magazines. Not every magazine, but they have a list of about 40 that you could download. Okay, I was going to just go through the year that I want to teach children to enjoy books. So by doing that, we do a lot of artwork. Now, I want you to look at this closely. Can you read what that says? Okay, I'll read it to you. We were doing a writing project there with children, and this one says, "My snowman does not like summer." This is up to February, and we had a block party where there were about 500 blocks brought up, and we had children from the different preschools come in. That was really fun. That says, "I love you." This was still February. I go to 5 different preschools in Othello. These teachers are the best of the best of the best. They take these children and they get them ready for kindergarten. they are just amazing. Oh, this is March with Dr. Seuss. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. Occasionally we have teenagers come to programs, and this one was a fun one. This was CBHA calls me to go and join them when they have programs about 3 or 4 times a year. And we were working on making patterns and saying, listen, when you work with your children, this is really good for their development of their mind for math, mathematical instruction. And it's fun, too. PAC meeting is a parent advisory council for migrant parents. This would be, I think, May already. And then the biggest time of the year is summertime, the summer reading challenge. And last summer it was about go for the gold, be physically fit. It was going along with the Summer Olympics. And we had preschool Olympics, which took like 5 hours to set up, but it was really, really fun. We had maybe 12 different areas where kids could do exercises. This was one, they were pulling up beans with their straws. And this was called Popcorn Olympics, so they were pounding on popcorn all over the place. This is over at the park on the 4th of July. We made flags. A children's author came and visited during the summertime. We had some soccer clinic, baseball clinic. This little girl, actually I think she was 3 then, had all sorts of equipment for playing soccer. Oh, Miss Doris, the owl lady, she was wonderful. That owl was about that big, and he was on my arm for a while, and it got so heavy, and they said, "How long was that?" And I said, "Oh, 5 minutes." It was like 45 seconds. And she brought a bunch of owls over. It was fun. The Friends of the Library, they're the ones who run the book nook right next to the library, which is generally open twice a month to raise money, and they do wonderful projects for the hospital, for the Christmas basket and whatnot. And they donated 3 big baskets, and each one's like $150, to honor those people who had worked to do a bunch of reading during the summertime and to do some activities. So it says the prizes are sponsored by the Friends of the Mid-Columbia Libraries, also by the Friends of the Othello Library, because they're a separate group. Okay, this again was CBHA, and second Saturday in August had their health fair. And people had so much fun. They were seeing who could blow up the balloons the fastest. And we were doing little projects. That was Thomas the Tank Engine in September. Here we were writing, making books together. October. We had family night at the end of October. I think it was at Ludicaga. Boy, they had fun with the musical chairs, and the kids did too. Roger was a good sport, Roger Cook. That says, "Give thanks." It's November. That's from last year. So the choir will be coming to the library this Thursday afternoon to sing. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Corinne. Council, do you have any questions for Corinne about her presentation? Just appreciate the things that, you know, you guys do. I just found out tonight for the first time that you're bilingual. So very good. You're a woman of many talents, and we appreciate what you're doing for our community because it is making a difference.
Mm-hmm. So. This is the library is a place for people to come and hang out. I mean, to use the computers, to check things out, to get books. And we do have patrons who come in who have never used a library before, who are used to libraries being from Mexico, where you have to pay a lot of money to check things out. And there was one lady that I kept telling her, "It's free, it's free. It's okay, you have a library card." She didn't really believe me, and then a woman right next to her started to say in Spanish, "Okay, todo eso es gratis, está bien, es para mi hija, está bien, está bien." And she was saying to her that, "Yeah, it's fine, you can take 10 books, 30 books, and I take these home for my little girl who's 5, and everything will be fine, and you just have to bring them back, is all." So there are people who are very, very grateful. Mm-hmm. That's what makes the Othello Library so special, is because we really do have the best patrons. They're grateful. They appreciate what's done for them, and you know, they say thank you. It's great. Thank
Very
you.
Good. Thank you, Glenn. We'll move to item 4.2 on our agenda, substantial completion of 14th Avenue Improvement Project. And Kurt, you have a recommendation.
Yeah, regarding 14th Avenue, it was done on time, under budget. The reconciling change order is about $60,000 under budget. There's a few outstanding items that need to be completed for final completion, and that was due to weather, including the turn arrows, crosswalks, stop bars, conduit, and the gravel behind the east sidewalk. So we were pretty pleased with the contractor. We had some reservations going in, but I think things turned out pretty well. Any questions?
Counsel?
I just have we were driving down that the other day, and I know they didn't have time to put the arrows and stuff, but there should be, we need to get a sign or something when you're coming towards Scootney there, so head north. There's the two lanes and that one ends. But if you don't know that that lane goes that way only, I mean, there's people trying to get into that same lane there. I don't know if we could put a. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that sign, just get it in.
Oh, okay.
We just got it.
Okay.
Yeah, basically recognize that that sign is directional.
Okay.
Are they going to put a stop sign back up at the three-way? What was the three-way there? Do we know? Yeah.
They put up those blinking yellow school crossing signs. Go ahead.
Yeah, the answer is no. And the reason is, and Travis can address this in more detail, is that the mayor and Travis has to go on the school board tonight to address it, but and I can let them talk with the Reader's Digest version is that the reason that those stop signs were put up originally was because traffic congestion there around the school created by some school bus routes, as well as not much access to 14th other than ash. And so a study was done way back when by the school that showed the stop sign would help relieve that. Now that we've got several accesses to 14th, including Scootney, which is a through street, the main one, and because of the future growth and the almost present growth of the more people that are down there, as well as CBHA, if it's to come in with their number of trips per thing, the thinking is, and the belief, not the belief, but we're pretty certain that a traffic stop there for the 30 or 40 minutes times two each day the school is in session, the traffic stop will create more congestion for the rest of the time than it would be worth the thing. So, like the mayor just said, to help slow traffic down during school times, we have the flashing pedestrian crosswalks there, and we talked to the school about this, and that's what we're going to do. If it becomes an issue, we'll consider putting it back up, but for now, it would create more problems than it would relieve.
I just had a couple people ask me, and I want to be able to give them a
That's fine.
Legitimate answer.
And we can go into more detail if you want. Travis can give you the numbers and stuff. That's the main reason.
No, sir. All right, thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions about 14th Avenue at the moment?
Okay, then I entertain a motion to approve the certificate of substantial completion for 14th Avenue Improvement Project.
Make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I will move to item 4.3, TIB Transportation Improvement Board Funding for First Avenue. Kurt, you have a short presentation?
I do. Council recalls in 2015, you got approximately $750,000 TIB grant. We delayed that project for a year for a couple of reasons. We wanted to finish First Avenue, and then we didn't want to tear up First Avenue and 14th Avenue in the same year, and that was the two major corridors. We reapplied in 2015, got 2016 money to complete First Avenue. So currently, city's got about a $1.7 million grant for First Avenue. There's about a $180,000 match from the city. We combined the projects. The agreement in front of you is under the budget amount NTIB by about $15,000 for the design because of the combined projects. We reviewed this at the committee level last week and would recommend its approval.
Anybody on the committee want to ask questions? No?
You want to tell us a little bit about it?
He'd be better to tell you about it than I would. I mean, we, like you said, they're both combined.
Okay, but,
so it's all
but
one.
Basically, what's in front of us tonight, what we're voting on tonight, is the engineering cost to Varela and Associates of $169,000 for the engineering cost to do the $1.6 million project that we've been granted by the TIB.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So it's the finished first.
So in your committee, you reviewed with Varela exactly what the engineering is going to cover, correct?
We didn't really talk about that much, but.
Well, do you think that the $169,000 worth of engineering is adequate? Too much? It's exactly 1 point, or it's exactly 10% of the total project cost.
And it's actually going to be, like you said, it's about $15,000 less than what we thought it was going to be because we have the combined projects.
Okay. So in doing this, I was looking through the itemized costs that Varela has put together.
Yes, sir.
So section B, design engineering services, plans and specifications?
Yes.
So that's to go out for bid. That's the majority of the cost of the, it's 50% of the total engineering costs. So that's putting together all of the bid documentation to go out for bid and providing the drawings and stuff like that.
Yeah, let me just go through it real quickly. The scope of work?
Sure.
Okay, so go to Section A. Preliminary planning and pre-design, that's walking the project with the staff, identifying approaches, ADA ramps that are out of conformance, just kind of kicking the dirt or kicking the wheels before we get going. The stormwater analysis is actually loaded up a little bit, and that's due to the fact that you have no stormwater. You have what Terry refers as bubblers. So it's taking a little bit of a step back and looking at the city and what is draining that area and what we're going to use it for. And if there's budget left, I'd also like to get into that pond and start doing, see what the capacity of your stormwater pond is for future development, et cetera. As you mentioned, item three is for the plans and specifications, the preparation of the bid documents. That includes a 60 and 90% review with city staff, preliminary cost estimate. Item four is a bid period assistance. And if you go to the next page, there's an amount there for surveying, environmental review.
Now the surveying, will that be done computerized surveying?
Yes, sir.
Of the roadway and everything? So you'll provide a disk to Terry after it's done and it'll be complete?
Yep. And that's actually something we'd like to jump on as soon as we can before this, hopefully we can beat the snow. Environmental, geotech, again, I'll probably schedule somebody shortly after the new year to come down and do some cores. Also, given that there's quite a few businesses through there, we set aside some time to meet with the individual business owners and talk about their approaches, if it's meeting their needs, etc., and get that done early and onto the plans and specifications.
So there, in this bid document, there's no oversight, no job oversight. Will there be another bid?
There'll be an amendment to this for that with bigger projects, I like to wait because I'd like to see the duration of the project before I start estimating effort level in the field.
Okay.
You like that?
So out of the 1.6 million, we're going to give up 161 for this preliminary engineering to get the job started, and then probably have another $150,000 to $200,000 oversight engineering during the job. So in all actuality, what we're going to be able to spend is going to be around just under $1.5 million, 1.3 million on the job.
Yeah, and there may be some added items in the project. We've already talked to staff about, and at the committee level, making sure that their empty parcels have water and sewer stubs before we get the street done. So the scope of that work may grow a little bit, but it's to prevent having to dig into it in the future.
Okay. And Kirk, correct me wrong, but when TFB funds a project, they assume a certain amount of engineering costs, and this is well within those.
It's $15,000
under less their assumption. Right.
No, but I just want to get a perspective of the fact that we've been granted $1,600,000 and with the engineering costs pulled out, the actual work you're going to go out and get bid for mm-hmm. is going to be under $1.3 million. That's it. That's all.
Okay. So any other questions? All right. With that, I entertain a motion to approve this First Avenue Engineering Scope of Work contract.
I make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to item 4.4, SVZ USA Agreement. And Kurt, you're taking that.
So the agreement that you have in front of you is a similar to the one you looked at a year and a half ago. There's been some additional provisions added to it. Working with staff, the attorney, and SVZ, it included a capacity analysis of your existing treatment facilities, recommendations from the environmental engineer based on those capacities. And I think the last iteration was through Kelly. The flow was raised slightly from 80,000 gallons a day to 90,000 gallons a day from the previous agreement that you looked at. I think they requested 100 at one time. And BOD is 1,000, which was the same as it was before. The terms is for 5 years. The differences is going to be the rates. If they discharged to their full permit levels, it would be about $15,000 a month in revenue to the city. This also includes a provision where if there's capital costs to the facility, they have to participate as a fractional element of those capital costs based on flow and load. And I can get into details on that if you'd like, but
well,
John's chomping at the bit.
I kind of want to know because I know a little bit about it, but $15,000 a month average, roughly.
Not average, that's max. So if they discharge right at 90,000 gallons per day every single day and right at 1,000 pounds of BOD every day, it would be there. I think my best guess was between 5 and 14.
So now, is there any condition in here, I've been looking for it, to where we take this from the tail end of their lagoon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's criteria on there.
That's where the BOD load is going to be the lowest, is off of the
yes.
discharge of the lagoon.
And they also have to install a monitoring automated monitoring and sampling facility up there on their site that's open to city staff, and submit those on a monthly basis. So it'll be a flow-paced sampler in there that draws a sample out of their effluent, puts it in a bottle, and that gets analyzed to make sure it's in conformance with the city
standards. How often do they do their BOD load? The requirement? Weekly?
BOD is daily. Daily measurements, monthly average, monthly maximum.
So
sampling frequency, once a week.
So you're going to do 5-day BOD?
Yes.
So the turnaround's 5 days? They're going to be picking up a sample every day?
24-hour composite, once a week.
Oh, once a week?
Yeah.
But sampling every day? Because it's compositing the sample.
And it's on page 10, John.
Huh?
It's on page 10.
So they'll have a composite sampler that'll draw a sample every day.
Yeah, probably an IPSCO sampler, and they'll pull a 24-hour sample per day.
Yeah, per day.
Usually that's a gallon.
And then they'll test that once a week.
So they're going to send 7 gallons to the lab?
Well, it depends on the flow.
It doesn't need that much.
It'll be a flow pace, so it'll sample more when the flow's heavier.
As long as it's well mixed when it's sent in, it's fine.
Yeah. Great. This is great.
Okay, any other questions? Council? Yeah. All right. I need City Council approval to sign this contract.
I'll make a motion for the city to enter into this agreement with SVZ.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thanks, Wade, for getting this to come to attrition.
No. Kurt, those folks worked really hard on it, and we did a lot of coordination.
Yeah, but you were the one that I brought it to in the very beginning when you first came on board, and it was something that was said that couldn't be done, and now it's done. So, thank you.
Yeah, we'll monitor closely and make sure it's going to look good. But, yeah, it seems it appears to be a good deal.
It'll help our system.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, good.
I'm sorry, Kelly, you reviewed the agreement. We've already voted on it, but you didn't have any concerns.
No, if I had concerns, I would have.
You said something, you're going to stop it. Yeah.
Kelly did work closely with Kurt on this to make sure.
Okay, very good. Item 4.5 is the Adams County Fire District Number 5 report, and we have Chief Gary Liebachen with us tonight.
Good evening. We've missed a few reports, so I'm going to summarize the last 10 months of the year, January 1 to October 31. Excuse me. We've had 99 alarms during that time. Some of the more significant alarms, we lost a camp trailer, displaced 2 people. We've had an electrical fire in a commercial business, not a major loss, just a cooling unit loss. Potential was there for a larger fire. Another mobile home was a total loss. That particular one was unoccupied. An apartment fire contained to the bathroom. Single family home got into the attic, and we were able to limit it to roughly a third of the house there. And I believe the family is back in that home finally. Been several months that they were displaced. The apartment kitchen fire displaced 2 people. Limited to the ground floor and the kitchen area. We had a single family home with a gas fireplace insert. They left kids' toys on it. Got a cold day, came on, and toy melted down over the top of things. Luckily, their alarm system caught it. We were notified quickly. Mobile home fire was a total loss. 5 people displaced there, and I believe they're back in that. Saying it was a total loss, it was, it had to be restored significant. But that was in one of our trailer courts down here on First Avenue. And then one motor vehicle accident with a fatality, although we've had lots of motor vehicle accidents. That was a significant accident, first in 26. So. Our inspector's done 210 commercial business inspections, not to include a courtesy contact. Courtesy contacts would be where he goes out, he identifies the sprinkler system as out of date for inspection, or a fire alarm or a hood system needs their annual inspections. He'll go out and make contact, give them a courtesy reminder, and he does that frequently. Then fire prevention, we've done several things this year. All of these add up to a positive nature in our rating by survey and rating. So we try to step that up every year and hit more and more people with a fire prevention message. We've done the Walmart booth, the Adams County Fair booth. We're part of the school district safety committee. Fire extinguisher classes we offer to businesses, public, as needed there. We do station tours. In fact, Warden and Royal City come every summer to our station, take a tour. We do a little message there for them. And then our annual open house. We've got seven partners. OPD is one of them. And it keeps growing every year. So a great event. We do fire prevention in all of the elementaries. Some of the miscellaneous things we do. We do monthly fire station inspections. We police our own as well, make sure everything's safe and up to current standards. Going down through, I'll just hit a few highlights. We do the fireworks display permit approval, standby crew there. This year we taught an EVAP, emergency vehicle incident prevention class to the EMTs at the hospital. We've reviewed the nesting water issue and approval for the city. Underground residential oil tank decommissioning. We've done one of those this year. Don't do a lot of those anymore. Those are kind of a thing of the past. 911 user meetings, we are part of that. We have monthly meetings or every other month now, I guess. And then our mechanic does 18 city inspections on your engines, aerials. They go through our shop at least 18 times, and you got four of them, 18 total. So they get seen frequently, our well-kept engines. Then something new on my report is some of the plan reviews that we've done or are in the process of doing. Best Western, the Sackman building, went through a remodel, CBHA 14th Avenue. And Dollar Tree, we completed that today. SVZ, they have an addition going on. Sage Stone, 8, 9, and 10, plat review there. McFarland Middle School, the placement of the portables. We did a site approval on that. Sacred Heart, multi-purpose building. The final testing on that was completed and accepted this year on their fire and life safety. And then our annual testing, the annual hydrant testing, we team up with Public Works. Terry provides a employee to accompany ours. We test roughly one half of the city hydrants throughout the summer. And then staff with the fire district do the city school, or the Othello School District hydrants. We test all the schools there. We do annual hose testing. Engine testing, the pumps on the engines, and all the engines have passed. Annual nozzle testing, apparatus weight verification, which is required by survey and rating. They have to be weighed side to side, front to back, and total. So it takes some time to do that. Any variance more than a certain percent side to side has to be addressed. We have a lot of people find out why it's the way it is. And then we have to do an annual engine bumper test drive, again, required by surveying rating. And 23 trainings for staff. Some of those, I just hit a couple of highlights. Live fire training, we were able to actually secure a building and burn it this year. Two of them, in fact, at WSU Research Farm out here. Able to go in, and firefighters will set a fire inside. They'll go in, knock the fire down. We'll use various tactics, whether it's direct, indirect, or we'll do some ventilation training, things like that, until the building's deemed unsafe, and then we let it continue to consume itself. Great training, but they're far and few between. The every year we do vehicle training, driver training, our EVIP training, mandatory by the state and our insurance company. And then we had Burlington Northern come in and do a railroad hazmat class. It's something they offer, and we took advantage of it this year because of some of the things that we have going on here in our district, through town now. Some of the oil trains, although they're empty, I never thought we'd even see an empty one, but we do. So we're taking every precaution we can there. And then the I've also attached the summary of the city incidents, broken down by what type. Again, we had 99 alarms compared to last year. Same period of time was 95. So we're up just slightly. So if you have any questions, Council.
Thank you, Gary.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So we'll move to item 4.6, School Resource Officer Agreement with the Othello School District. AC Rim is here tonight.
Good evening. I provided the agenda memo regarding the SRO agreement between the Othello School District and the City of Othello. This agreement covers school years, or calendar years, 2017 and 2018. The agreement increases 3% per year. Other than that, everything's the same in the agreement that we've had in the past. We've had a really good communication, a really good partnership with the Othello School District. Being a former SRO, I see a lot of positive things with the school program and the SRO program itself. I recommend that with any questions I can answer, and that we approve this SRO agreement.
Council.
This was already in our budget.
Yeah. So.
The only thing that when I read it today, you know, going through there, and it showed the amount of schools. Well, there's six or eight of them, I think.
Yes.
I was just wondering how one guy can kind of, if there is an incident.
He's really busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, he'd have
and
to be.
Most of his time, as far as activity, is in the junior high and high school. As far as with the elementary schools, those are made for the educational purposes, sure. You know, that we would
yeah. do. Yeah, I think it's a good deal, have them in there.
All right. And I'd entertain a motion to approve this interlocal agreement with the Othello School District.
I'll make the motion.
I'd second it.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, AC Rim. So now I'm going to move to item 4.7, the Operating Engineers Union Agreement. We've been in negotiations with all of our unions here over the last month. And Wade, you have some news for us.
Yep. As the mayor said, this is we've been in negotiations this last month with all four of our union bargaining units. This is the International Union of Operating Engineers that represents our public works employees. And this will be the first of several we'll come before you with. The next three will be in the police department. And those will be next month as we finish up negotiations this coming month. Three of our council members were on the committee, Councilman Larry and John and Councilwoman Jim were there and played a big part in these negotiations, and they're well read in on, you know, the details. For this particular contract, we made a couple of concessions, but mostly for the benefit of the city. There's standard 2% per year pay raise, which is pretty much all unions are going to agree to for the next 3 years. One of the more interesting concessions here, or things we agreed to, was uniform shirts for the union. The union wanted these to identify themselves as city employees. They've had a couple of incidents where people, you know, don't see the truck and see them working on something. They go, "Who are you? What are you doing?" And it's a matter of pride with them too. So we agreed to do 6 shirts, short sleeve shirts and 6 long sleeve shirts. We're going to go through a test phase here shortly with those to see which material of which kind of shirt works best for them, and then we'll purchase those for them, and they'll keep them clean, and we'll purchase replacements as we go through the year. It's a small investment for a lot of pride for the guys, and some protection for people wondering what they're doing. So there are a couple other minor things in here that we agreed to. We used something called interest-based bargaining this year, which means that we didn't use a negotiator. Chief Shank and myself went through some training in the last year or so. The chief has a lot of experience with that, so we saved ourselves between $30,000 and $40,000, we think, Spencer, by not doing a union negotiator, and by using interest-based bargaining, which means we bargain in the best interest of the city and the employees together, instead of going, you know, holding across close to the vest and then trying to go back and forth. And so the result is this contract. I don't know any of the council members that with negotiation want to address this, anything that you guys want to add that I forgot?
It was a very pleasant process that we went through as compared to previous years, and I think that both the employees and the city got a really good deal on this part, yeah, of this contract.
One thing, we had some discussion on premium pays for different qualifications. We came to agreement on those. We think it's beneficial for both the city and the employees as well. I think those are the biggest changes on this particular contract. So, any questions for myself or the council members that were on part of the negotiations? Okay. In that case, I recommend that we approve this, and then it's all ready to go and signed. We'll have 1 down and 3 more to go.
Kelly, you've reviewed it.
Yeah, I have reviewed the agreement, and it's in terms of nothing out of line with what you see in a collective bargaining agreement. I've handled and negotiated several of these types of agreements. Looks good. There's only one provision I didn't quite understand, but I talked to Wade about it, and sounds like he has a very good handle on what it is, and it's actually beneficial for the city, so it doesn't create concerns for me.
Very good. Entertain a motion to approve the Operating Engineers Collective Bargaining Agreement.
I'd make that motion.
Good. Thank you. Larry?
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we're going to go to item 4.8, Resolution for Water Rates for Adams County Water District Number 1. Spencer, we got a public hearing.
Thank you very much. As you know, at our last meeting, we held a public hearing to discuss the water and the sewer rates for the Adams County Water District Number 1. And the proposal that came out of that meeting was that we would stay true to the city ordinance and offer the same rate to this water district as others are paying inside and outside of the city limits. Tonight we have 2 resolutions. There's 1 resolution attached to this memo and 1 resolution attached to the next memo. This item's for water and the next is for sewer. And it's the recommendation at this time that the council move to approve this resolution, which would establish the rates for the water district, the water rates for the water district.
Questions, council? Okay. Entertain that motion to approve this resolution establishing water rates for Adams County District 1.
Okay. I move to adopt the attached resolution establishing water rates for the Adams County Water District Number 1 for 2017 through 2019.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. And now we'll move to the next resolution, Spencer, 4.9 on our agenda, resolution for sewer rates for Adams County Water District Number 1. Thinking about it.
This is the exact same as before, except this is the sewer rates.
Motion, Counsel. Okay, entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
To approve the attached resolution establishing sewer rates for Adams County District 1 for 2017 through 2018.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a second?
A second, here.
Go ahead.
John, I thought you were here.
All right, we have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We are at long last, going to get to item 4.10, ordinance amending the OMC titled landscaping, and Amy has some information for us tonight.
Good evening. So we have created a new street and park trees ordinance, and in order for an existing ordinance 14.57 titled landscaping, there were a couple of changes that need to be made so that those two ordinances work in conjunction with one another. So the attachment for this memo line out the specifics. When I originally sent this document over to Kelly, I had made several edits in the specific requirements section, and then I thought, well, I should just make this adjustment in the general requirements section, and that covers everything. So that saved us a whole lot of work. So the major change for the general requirements is no trees are to be planted by the public in the city's right-of-way. The only trees will be planted by the city. That also includes utility easements. And then further down in Section K, it reiterates that same piece of information. And then in Section 14.57-100, it changes what used to be listed as prohibited plants and renovated that section to be the same as the new ordinance with the approved, discouraged, and prohibited trees. And it's identical here as it was in the street and park trees ordinance. That's all I have to say. Do you have any questions?
It's been approved or reviewed by legal counsel. So I didn't, counsel, you have any questions for Amy? This is just a cleanup item, basically.
Correct.
So would entertain a motion to adopt the ordinance amending OMC 1457 landscape.
Make that motion.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Amy. And item 4.11, ordinance to amend the 2016 budget. Spencer?
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. As you know, the budget is very much a living document, one that we have to revisit, and we revisit it many times during the year. It's come to the end of the year, 2016, and there are a few items here that we need to amend to include in our budget. These are all items, I believe, that we've talked about in council meeting, with the exception of the first item here. We only discussed this one during the council budget committee meetings, at least one, maybe two of those. So it was my plan to walk through these few items, and we can talk about any questions that you have. All of these items are things that we've included in our budget as though we were doing them for the year. The first item, Park and Rec Reserve Fund, I am proposing that we increase the expenses in that fund by $38,000, and this is to cover the total cost of the skate park. We had the skate park put in this year, and the actual cost of the skate park cost $38,000 more than what we plan to transfer over from the skate park reserve fund. And so the general fund was picking up that extra $38,000 tab per the contracts that we discussed during the meeting. And it was my recommendation at the time that we were developing the budget, and it's a recommendation of the Council Budget Committee, that we have the Park and Rec Reserve Fund pay for the entire skate park. So that's that first item. The second item, out of the donations fund, $650 increase. We received more money than we anticipated in the donation fund, unique to the Shop with a Cop program. And it's the request of the PD that we increase the dollars that you're allowing them to use for the Shop with a Cop program due to the extra dollars received. The tourism fund, during the year, at some point, we decided to award $500 to the Rod and Gun Club. I believe this was in April, or it was earlier this year. So that's that item. And then with the solid waste fund, in late 2015, this was quite a while ago when we were wrapping up the first portion of the First Avenue project. At that time, we wanted to have the solid waste fund pay for a portion of that project, the costs associated with the alley, approaches that came up to First Avenue. At the end of 2015, it was the desire of council to include that $38,000 in the budget at that time. We didn't get the numbers at that time, so we just left, or I didn't have the official number. We knew it was going to be around $40,000. We didn't have the official number until 2016, so I left that money in that fund until 2016 when we actually had that dollar. So that carried over, the available dollars carried over from 15 to 16. And then the very last item is kind of a wash item. This is the very last one here. I'm proposing an increase to the revenue side and on the expense side for the solid waste fund, just to increase the estimates. The estimated revenues and the estimated expenses were low in that fund.
Yeah, under the solid waste fund 406 in your agenda memo, you said that in late 2015, the council decided to have the sewer fund pay. I'm assuming that's the solid waste.
Oh, solid waste.
Fund.
Sorry. Solid waste fund. Yeah. I apologize.
I wanted to clarify that.
Due to the extra wear and tear that's put on the alleys because of the dump trucks. Yep. With that, if there are any questions, I can field those questions. And then we can move forward with the
committee's reviewed it. Good. All right. Then I'd entertain a motion to approve this budget amendment for 2016.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Spencer. Item 5 is unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business tonight from before the council?
I've got one thing.
Yes.
I want to kind of get clarified. I'm bidding the job like on 14th. I've always been taught that the change orders is what the contractor, that's how he makes his bonus. And we got a couple items in there that were the joints and stuff that we decided to go with, you know, the good stuff instead of the regular. Was that correct? Yeah. Why didn't we do that to start with? When we first bid it. The other thing is, on the, we got to wait now and put these stamps down because it's wet. Well, we knew bidding that job, it was going to be done in December. My question is it the same money when we're bidding it as it is after the job's done?
I think I look Chris. I was going to answer part of your question, but that piece.
I want to learn about.
Yeah, as far as the, 14th Avenue, there was lots of mistakes made because we changed course of the middle of the stream as far as engineering firms, and just to go back, we had wanted to change completely over to Varela and let them redo the whole thing to make sure we did caught all these things, sure. But they recommended. That would cost us a lot more money to do that, which, paying them more money to do that, and so they were trying to save us money. But we ended up, because of all the stuff that was embedded in there for the previous engineering firm, by the time, so things like the joint ceiling, using the standard stuff, that we didn't catch that piece, and those kind of things. So as we went back and did those, the company that we went with, Colbert, and correct me if I'm wrong, we ended up not spending a whole lot more, I don't think, than we would have if we'd put it in the original contract. Is that not correct, Kurt, for the most part, on most of those items? So we were fortunate. But you're right, though, we could have spent much more doing it. So we learned a lot on the 14th, and we learned if we could change horse to the middle of the stream, spend the extra little money and go ahead and let the engineering firm do it.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and so...
we got by with, you know, even having it.
Right. And so for this, for First Avenue, that's why, you know, there's engineering costs that Kurt is talking about. That's to make sure as we go through things like ADA ramps and those kind of things that may or may not be in there. We want them in there because that's the council has a, you know, made a decision a while back that let's, as we upgrade streets, we're going to upgrade the ADA ramps.
We don't want to miss anything in this next go-around.
So does that answer your question?
Thank you. Yes,
okay.
It does.
Good.
So along those same lines, we've got a $2 million project now. How much of those change orders is going to be covered by the state funding?
That's what you mean for 14th? That's what we're looking at right now. We got to ask some questions on that. I believe, Kurt...
Before we get to the completion portion, where we're 100% complete,
right,
something we should probably know about.
And that's what we're... Kurt, you want to address that?
Yeah. Spencer's all over that, man. You don't have to worry about it. But,
actually, we were just talking about this few minutes ago.
Yeah. It's pretty convoluted as well with the proportional share of all the landowners on each side. So teasing those numbers out and making sure that they're defensible to TIB. Some of them will, I believe, be reimbursed by TIB. Others will not. The irrigation line, for example,
we voted on doing that ourselves.
Right. But the symbols, I believe, will be. The crack sealing will be. And the justification is had we caught it or known about it up front, it would have been in the contract anyway. So we're currently about $60,000 under budget. The original bid came in $300,000 below that budget. So if everything washed out right now, as far as the contractual stuff with TIB, we're $350,000, $360,000 under budget. So I think that they should be okay with expanding a few of the change order items. But.
Great. Thank you.
Any other unfinished business? Okay, let's move to new business, item 6.1. Now that we've conducted, we've adopted the budget for 2017, we have amended the 2016 budget. It's been the practice of the City Council to dispense with the last meeting of the year, which would occur on the 27th, which also coincides with the Holiday Bowl. With the WSU Cougars playing the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So do we want to cancel that meeting? And if so, I just need a consensus?
Yes.
Or do I need a motion? Oh, can I have to have a motion?
I'd make that motion that we cancel the 27th. Yeah. Not because of that, but because.
Because. All right.
Yeah.
Any other?
I think it's, yeah, that's good because Christmas is on Sunday and most holidays are being acknowledged on the 26th. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you have something important to tell us all.
I don't.
All right.
So.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 6.2. I just want, this is more of a reminder that the January workshop is going to be rescheduled to Tuesday instead of Monday because that's going to be the observed holiday for the city and also for many people in the community. So our workshop is going to be on Tuesday night, that first one of the year. And City Hall is also closed on Monday. So that's just an announcement. Also, I have another announcement. The City Council is invited to the city's annual Christmas party. That's this Friday, December 16th from 5:30, starting at 5:30 is a social hour until 6:30 when dinner will be served. It's $15 per person. If you want to, you can participate in a white elephant gift exchange of $10 approximately, and the entire city council is invited. And if you would like to attend, please contact Tricia Tolley, because I believe she's the one keeping track of the head count. So I just wanted the council to be aware of that and that party this coming Friday.
What do we do, just out of curiosity, if there's a forum, how do you...
Forum.
Social.
Is that how you get around it?
Okay.
Because it's a social event. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a good question. No action will be taken.
It's at the Eagles.
It'll be at the Eagles Lodge. Not the Eagles Lakes Lodge, but the Eagles Lodge.
Right over here.
All right, over here. That's right. Okay. And having no further business to come before the city council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:37 p.m.